Alex will now talk about getting to know local first pioneers, PouchDB and CouchDB. Let's welcome him.
All right, hello. Hi, my name is Alex. I'm from a company called Neighborhoodie in Berlin. And I'm going to show you PouchDB and CouchDB. Just going to dive straight in and then do something very ill-advised, namely demo the entire thing live, because I think that shows it very well. So CouchDB is a non-relational document-based database. It is extremely good at syncing data back and forth and doing all of the things that the track is generally interested in. It's built in Erlang, and it runs on the server. PouchDB with a P is the JavaScript implementation of kind of the same thing, and it runs in the browser. And together, they talk with each other, and they're really good at building sync engine-based, offline-capable, collaborative web apps with real-time-ish capabilities. And because we think that the barrier to entry is very low and they're very easy to reason about, we're just going to do the whole thing live right now. Let's see if that works. Right, we're going to go to the PouchDB website, because on the PouchDB website, PouchDB itself is hosted there. And so we're just going to do what it says. We're going to get ourselves a PouchDB instance. Start doing things. This angle is very bad for me to see my cursor, but I think we can make it work. Okay, so I stupidly just scrolled past that, but we just got ourselves a PouchDB instance. It's basically a wrapper around IndexedDB. Usually what people like to do with databases is put data in them. So for this presentation, we're going to put furry animals into our database. Everything in Couch and Pouch is JSON. So keys and values, some keys are special. They have an underscore. This is predictably the unique ID. We're only going to have one badger, so that's fine. Put the badger in. Sweet, we have a badger. Usually you want to get stuff out again. There are many ways of getting stuff out of Couch and Pouch. We're going to do the simplest one and use the get method on our database. I promise this gets more complex and interesting in a minute. You just get it by its ID, very straightforward. There's a badger, awesome. And we can see there are the three keys that we just put in, food, type, and ID, but there's a fourth key that we didn't put in. So this is something PouchDB did for us. This is a document revision. For now, all you need to know is the document revision has two parts. In front of the dash is an incrementing integer that tells you the how many-th version of the badger this is. So this is the first. The thing after the dash is a content addressable hash of the document, which makes it very easy to compare documents and revisions with each other very cheaply. We're going to see why that's cool later on. You can, of course, add multiple animals. We're going to do that really quickly so we have some more things to look at. So this is a bulk docs thing. You just put in an array of JSON. Great. Every write to Couch and Pouch is atomic. And when you do multiple of them, they are still handled individually. So if one of them fails, the others will work, which is nice. And sometimes you want to know how many animals you have. So let's look at the easiest way to get, where's my cursor and why there? The easiest way to get data out of it, and that's with the alldocs command. We pass in an option that says include the docs, because we know how many there are, and we know that they're small. Sometimes you would not want to do this. And then you get your animals. Cool, and you can see they all have a rev. Brilliant. That covers reading and writing. So you can also power your user interface with PouchDB. So Pouch and Couch both have a thing called the changes feed, which is basically just an event emitter that emits an event whenever something changes. And you can see how you could easily attach that. If you have a reactive front-end UI, for example, you attach the changes handler to the state management of that and then decide whether you want to update the view. We're just going to add one of those really quickly. And this is also just a method on our database instance called changes. We want it to start now. We say live is true, which means it will stay active until we turn it off again. And again, we would like the entire document body inside the change. I'm just going to start that. And to actually trigger this, we now have to do something with the database. So we haven't done updates yet. So let's do those next. You might assume updates work a bit like this.
Oh, forgot to copy the thing. One second. Boop.
Work a bit like this, where you just do a put again, and you reuse an ID that you know exists, and you put in some new keys and values. And you would be wrong, because that doesn't work. Why does it not work? So you get a big error message, which is interesting for two reasons. First of all, there's an HTTP status code in there, 409 conflict, which is curious, because we didn't make any network requests, right? So why is that there? CouchDB, like the big one, is an HTTP server. Every piece of data, every action you can take on the data, every function of the database has an HTTP endpoint. And since PouchDB is an implementation of Couch, it only makes sense that it behaves consistently. In addition, Pouch can also be used as a client library for CouchDB, so it just makes sense to do it this way. The more interesting question is, why is there a conflict? So CouchDB has a concept of history with its document revisions. So when you make an update, you not only have to specify which ID you want to update, you also have to specify which state of that document you want to update. And that's basically what underpins the very awesome syncing capabilities of Couch and Pouch. So if you recall, we already had our badger. Whoop. And our badger already had an ID. So the easiest way to do this is to just reuse the badger. We're going to destructure the poor guy and just override the one key that we want to change. And that works. And you can see, first of all, the changes feed fired. So we could now, if we had a UI, we could now take this change, see if we need to do anything with it, and update the state. And you can also see that the document now is at revision 2. And the hash has also changed because the document has changed. All right. Now let's sync some data. We're going to connect the PouchDB, which runs in the browser, to a remote CouchDB, which is running on this laptop, but you know what I mean. Could be anywhere. So Couch and Pouch support true multi-primary replication, meaning you can connect several databases, and several, I mean many more than two, via replication, and they'll eventually be consistent with each other. You can also do partial replication, filtered replication, as you like. And the big selling point here is, of course, that these networks can be partitioned. So the databases are still fully functional, and they will sort themselves out once they reconnect. So let's start a replication real quick. This replication goes from the local database to a remote one and back again. It is live, so again, it stays open until we close it. And it will retry if it goes offline, which is kind of the secret superpower here. All right, first thing that's going to happen is a pile of errors are going to happen. Why is this? Because, again, CouchDB is an HTTP server. If Pouch wants to know something about a resource that isn't there, it will get a 404. That's totally normal, which is why PouchDB repeatedly tells us that this is totally normal. I'm going to hide those. And now we can also see that the replication has done something. It's done a push. And what has it pushed? It has pushed our four documents into the database. So let's look at those. This is Photon. This is the admin panel that Couch just hosts for you. And we're already in the correct database. And if I refresh, we can see, let me make that bigger. We have a document, the badger is at revision 2, and we're going to do a change. So we're going to make the ferret a bit nicer and have it eat candy instead of blood. I don't know what ferrets eat, I'm sorry. And if you go back to here, you can see that there was a pull. That's our ferret being pulled. And the changes feed is also fired with our updated ferret. And this is nice, because we've just specified the changes feed in our browser, but that change came from somewhere completely different. And we don't care, right? We have one changes feed handler. It could be our own change on this client, could be somewhere else, all the same thing. Cool. Now let's stress test this a bit and make 1,000 animals. And we're going to put them directly into the couch. And with this, I just want to demo that PouchDB can also be a client for remote
CouchDB. Oh, I just noticed that. I misplaced a file. That was dumb. Oh no, I can't find my thousand animals anymore. That was very unfortunate. There we are. There are my thousand animals. Please don't paste huge arrays of JSON at home. Boink. And the changes feed fires a bunch of times. And if we go here and refresh, we can see everything's full of bears. And that would usually be a problem, but in this case, it's what we want. If we go back here and we check with all docs again how many animals we have, we will see that they have already been replicated back down into the PouchDB, and we have 1,004 animals. So that's very cool. Okay, I have to rush a bit. Let's go offline and do the really exciting stuff. Where's my offline button? We're taking this browser offline. And we're just going to, you know, do some things as if we weren't offline. For example, we're going to add a new animal, because 1,004 animals is nowhere near enough. We're going to add an otter. That just works. Brilliant. Let's delete the pangolin on account of it not being furry enough. So deletes in Couch and Pouch are interesting. You can't just really delete something in a distributed database, because once the other databases reconnect, they will just replicate that thing back into existence. So you have to keep track of the deletion. And the way we do that is we just mark it as deleted with a special key. Deleted true. And now the pangolin is gone. And yeah, the changes feed also explicitly tells us that this was a deletion, which is also quite useful. But all this really means is that we can really easily build apps that seamlessly work online or offline without the end user or even us as developers having to care particularly much about the connectivity status. As long as our code does not talk to the network, the replication protocol would just do the thing in the background. Right, now, conflicts. Let's cause conflicts. We're going to do some conflicting offline writes. See what happens there. We're going to get our badger, and we're going to let the badger in the browser be a ramen noodle aficionado. And we're going to let the badger in the server. Remember, these are no longer connected. And yeah, I'm hurrying. Yeah, but I'm pretty much on track. It's all good. Document saved successfully. Cool. We now have two parallel badgers. There are now two versions of the same badger. Which is the real one? Only time will tell. For now, this is Schrödinger's badger. They both exist. So let's reconnect and see what happens. So the first thing that's going to happen is probably... hello. Yeah. So one part of the replication has happened. So it's pulled the change from the server. In a second, it's also going to do a push. There's an incremental backoff thing happening here, so it doesn't clobber the connection. It'll take a few seconds. We're nearly there. Come on. There we are. OK, now let's see which badger is the real badger. And then we are near the end of the talk. So what happened? The Mars bar badger has won. Cool. Does that mean the ramen badger is now consigned to history? No. The ramen badger lives on. He lives behind the conflict button. So CouchDB and PouchDB do not do last write wins, because in some use cases, that is equivalent to just randomly deleting user data, which sometimes you cannot do. So we give you, as a developer, the option of choosing what to do with your conflicts. You can ignore them, which is effectively last writer wins, or just random writer wins, because we have no clocks. Or you can do like proper conflict resolution, which may even mean asking the users what they originally meant. OK, that, yeah. So with, With many other offline first solutions, quite a lot of your work will be just getting to this point, right? You'll have to add a lot of abstractions between your sync layer and your actual data. And because a lot of other systems can't handle arbitrary data, you'll see we don't have a schema, we didn't define anything, right? With Couch and Pouch, the conflict handling does not care what your data looks like, and it's always just human-readable JSON. So it's offline-capable, real-timey, it syncs, it's conflict-aware, and we did all of that without writing a single line of code. We only invoked some library methods. All right, so just a small recap about Couch and Pouch. So they're open-source Apache Foundation projects with a long history. Nobody's going to sell you anything. Built on open standards, no lock-in, HTTP and JSON. If your stack speaks that, you're done, basically. True multi-primary replication, human-readable state always, in flight, in transport, not operations or transactions being stored, conflict-aware through and through, completely indifferent to your data structure, no auto-resolution magic, you get to decide what to do, plus loads of other awesome features. We love CouchDB and Pouch. We've done a lot of interesting work in the past 10 years all over the world. Please come talk to me and Jan, the man over there, about this. We enjoy this topic a lot, as you may be able to tell. We're quite friendly, and we also have stickers. And that's it. Those are the URLs. Thank you very much. Has anyone got any questions?
Thank you, Alex. You have 2-3 minutes for questions.
Cool. I can't see anything, but
we have some.
Yes.
There was a second where you had edited in the admin dashboard, and you went back to the application or the console, and you saw that it was changed.
Yeah.
Why was that? Was it pulling for this the changes feed?
There's actually two separate things. So the replicator, we had set up a bidirectional replication. Mm-hmm. So any change on the CouchDB would automatically get pulled, replicated into the pouch. Mm-hmm. And then the changes feed fired because something changed in the local database.
I see. So okay. It was being changed from the same place, basically.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cool. Doesn't really care where the change came from in the end.
Nice. Some other questions?
Is it mainly a key value store, or is there any transaction multi-document functionality?
You can build one on top if you like. It just stores JSON. I mean, it also stores binary data if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But in principle, it's just JSON. But we've built a transactional store on top of that as well. That's entirely possible, like a ledger system. Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't catch this. If you don't, as the developer, resolve the conflicts, are the multiple clients guaranteed to converge on a consistent state?
Yes. It's always deterministic, even if they're separated from each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question. Yes, absolutely. Good question.
More or good? Okay. Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.